because Monday slot is a very, I've done it for the year, this, the Monday slot is a very, very flexible spot. And I'm definitely open to suggestions in terms of what topics people want to discuss, or what issues they want to you know, hear about, et cetera. The, traditionally, what we usually do is the first couple, I usually, always like the beginning of, usually before the Yom Narayim, we speak about Yom Narayim issues, which we did this year as well. Usually the first couple of the year, so, you know, right at the beginning of Bereshit, somebody's excited about Bereshit, so we do something on the Parsha or related to the Parsha. So we'll follow with that tradition this year. And then after that, you know, typically we, you know, we do, you know, some broader theme or themes, as the case may be. Now, I do owe, I think I was in the middle of, I wasn't, I mean, there's much, much, much more to do. But I particularly, I think, committed to discussing, again, last year we were, you know, we were discussing, we started discussing Ish Halacha, and then we got into the relationship between Brisk or Derech as a method of learning and how that connects with the, you know, Hashkafa Sa'olam, let's say, of Brisk. We discussed that a lot. And then from there, we got into, we went back to trying to illustrate Reb Chaim's contribution, both, you know, in terms of precedents and laterally and parallels, etc. So I think specifically, I said I would speak about Rubo, Kakulo, and Shtar. So I still want to, as two other examples of where the overlap of treatments, you know, treating the same topic and issue and seemingly superficially, even, you know, positing the same kind of solutions, actually highlights, you know, magnifies, you know, Reb Chaim's perspective or contribution, his singular approach. So I still want to do those two. You know, whether we pursue more after that, we were talking about Talmidim and, you know, predecessors and parallels and other such things. You know, maybe not, but at least one more session I would want to give just to do those two examples because I think they were very illuminating. So basically, you know, probably this week and next week we'll just discuss some Bereshit topics, maybe the week after that also. But after that, you know, I'm going to give one more on that theme at least, and then, you know, if some sort of consensus emerges in terms of what to discuss going forward, I'm definitely open to hearing suggestions, or we can continue and just leave it to me. And there are plenty of good topics. Vigdor suggests, you know, war and peace, right? So maybe we could do a couple on war and peace, right? And I think he was very inspired by Asa Dokolosa, Asay, and right? Among other things, you know, divide and conquer.
I thought that was the first year.
What? Divide and conquer.
Conquered, juggernauts.
Juggernauts, right. So we could do that. I mean, there are a lot of things to do, either as, either you know, methodological things or themes, et cetera. But anyways, for today, going back to Bereshit, so I want to speak just briefly about, maybe today and next week also, about Sefer Bereshit and the importance of Sefer Bereshit. So, Bereshit Bara Elokim Esa Shamayim Esa Aretz. So again, the Rashi right at the beginning tells us two important things. One is that the Torah should have begun with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShana. Really should have began in Parshas Bo, where we have the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael as a tzibor. And the implication is that beginning in Bereshit, that the you know, not just Bereshit, the event, you know, the creation of the world, but even, you know, the rest of Bereshit, meaning the early history of the world and of mankind, and the stories of Adam and Noach, etc., maybe even of the Avos, right, should really either have been eliminated from the Torah, or maybe if not eliminated from the Torah, but at least that should not have been the starting point. The assumption seems to be that how you start is critical. Setting the tone in something like the Torah is very, very important. That's assumption number one. I think it's a very reasonable assumption. And assumption number two, that primarily the Torah is a work of halacha, and it should have begun with halachos. The fact that it begins as it does with cosmogony and then with the history of mankind, the early history of man, is a question. And Rashi, as we know, gives a very famous quotes, a very famous answer called Masa Hibiliyamo. Now the question is how to understand the answer. Right? The answer is in order to establish our rights to Eretz Yisrael, that's why it was necessary to begin. So that's a prat. There are two ways to understand the answer. One is it's a prat, meaning it's a detail. We wouldn't have been able, let's say, to respond effectively, right, to claims questioning our right to Eretz Yisrael. If that's really what Rashi has in mind, that's the simple reading of it, so then obviously our right to Eretz Yisrael is such a crucial issue. It's definitely a strong statement about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael per se, that it really justifies a beginning in what otherwise would have been the wrong place. And that's an amazing chiddush, and it's a chiddush which should not be discounted. My own understanding, which I'll try to explain a little more as we go forward, is that while that probably is true, but it's probably true because it's more than a prat, too. And more than a prat in two senses. Number one, the centrality of Eretz Yisrael isn't just about one of the Taryag mitzvos. It's not Eretz Yisrael alone. It's what Eretz Yisrael represents in terms of the role of Klal Yisrael, in terms of the concept of Klal Yisrael, number one, as well as the role that Klal Yisrael is intended to play in Torah itself. And that in a very real sense, maybe what Rashi has in mind, this is, you know, for another time to discuss the details, but just very quickly, maybe what Rashi has in mind is that what you would accomplish through HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, which is the first mitzvah given to the Tzibur, and not just the first mitzvah given to the Tzibur, right, but the one which establishes Klal Yisrael's responsibility for and partnership, you know, in Torah, because again, afilu mezidim, right? Kiddush HaChodesh is what establishes Mekadesh Yisrael b'hazmanim. So that theme, which highlights Klal Yisrael as a corporate entity's existence and its role in Torah generally, and as I say, in initiating and partnering in Torah and the sense of responsibility that underlies it, maybe that is accomplished, or another side of that coin is the role that Eretz Yisrael plays in the life of the Jewish people. We know, everybody knows the famous Sifrei in Parshas Ekev, Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, right, where, you know, which Rashi and the Ramban both quote, that, you know, makes it sound as if mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael are in the category of chinuch, right? Can't really mean that, but that's what it makes it sound like. And I've always tried to suggest, again, there are various perspectives on that. I'm going to go through all of them right now for another time. But I always wanted to suggest that the parsha of Shema Yisrael and the parsha of Hayim Shemoa, as Chazal point out, Rashi in Perish Al HaTorah, he quotes it as well, but the Gemara basically says that one is B'loshon Yachid and the other is B'loshon Rabin. And maybe what the Sifrei and Parshas Ekev really means is that every mitzvah, even the ones which are Chovas HaGabra and which apply in Chutz Laretz, every mitzvah that applies to a Yachid also applies on a different level, or is also an aspect of the role of the tzibur. There's a dual dimension to every mitzvah. You do it as a individual, and you do it as a member of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael have a different dimension. I think that's really maybe what that has in mind. The reason I'm telling you that now is, so in a certain sense, when Rashi gives the answer, koch masav higiliyamo, in addition to telling us that Eretz Yisrael is very central, what I'm suggesting is he's also saying that, indeed, the Torah should begin with halacha, and not just with halacha, but a particular halacha, halacha that highlights the role of Klal Yisrael, because it's Bereishis Bara Elokim, right? And Rashi also quotes, right at the beginning, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, and Bishvil Yisrael shenikra reishis, reishis tuasa. So this idea of Torah and Yisrael, Torah as Yisrael, the role of Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, in Torah, which is very much highlighted by HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's not just the first Mitzvah Tzibur, as I said, it's one fraught with particular implications. So that idea is also expressed by the role that Eretz Yisrael plays in mitzvos generally, witnessed by that sifrei. And therefore, the idea of Eretz Yisrael is a critical one. The Ramban, in his Perush on Ekev, as we know, the Ramban in general has this idea of Kichelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso, and the idea that Klal Yisrael doesn't need any kind of intermediary, right? So there's a direct relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a leitmotif in the Ramban's writings, you know, this idea. It's all throughout his Perush on Torah. It's implicit in some of his more interesting shitas about Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, as he calls it in some cases, Chibas Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban in the beginning of Gittin, the Ramban in the beginning of Megillah, the Ramban in other places. So the Ramban says that, you know, to explain that Sifrei, right, so the Ramban adds that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Elokei Mishpat Haaretz. In the sense that we define the Ribbono Shel Olam as Elokei Yisrael, the Elokim of Eretz Yisrael. That's, again, I think, if it isn't exactly what I was saying before, but it's a parallel kind of an idea, meaning it isn't just the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael or Yishuv Haaretz, which the Ramban happens to think is also a mitzvah saseh, which he says the Rambam omitted or neglected to count in his minyan mitzvos. But according to the Ramban, basically, ha-mitzvos mishpat Elokei Haaretz. The Ribbono Shel Olam is called Elokei Haaretz. So this is a defining aspect of it. What I'm suggesting is that it isn't just that particular mitzvah is an important mitzvah, it's what it represents about a Bishvil HaTorah and Bishvil Yisrael. But either way, the basic assumption of Rashi is that the Torah should have begun with Halacha. What I'm suggesting is that maybe even the Maskana, the Torah kind of does. But either way, the theme of Bishvil HaTorah Shenikoreshis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikoreshis is a prominent one. But if that's true, so then, you know, while the beginning may be justified for the various reasons that we explain, koach masav higud liamo, according to Rashi, if you don't say that, so the question looms larger. And even if you do say it, so does that justify the entire Bereshis? Again, Bishvil HaTorah and Bishvil Yisrael, you know, isn't something that begins outside of the koach masav higud liamo part. From the beginning, I mean, the whole Parshas Bereishis and the whole Parshas Noach. Again, Jewish history only begins, obviously, with Lech Lecha, and even Jewish history, you can make the case because it shouldn't begin until Matan Torah, or maybe another place for it to begin is when Klal Yisrael is a nation, and that's really from the beginning of Sefer Shmos, the Psukim, and the very end of Parshas Vayechi, and the end of Bereishis. And the psukim in the very beginning of Parshas Shemos seem practically identical, at least in terms of their tochen. They're identical. They're certainly repetitive, right? We repeat, the amount of people, the names of the people, both in the end of Vayechi and the beginning of Shemos, basically to establish that Sefer Bereishis is a Sefer about Yechidim, and Sefer Shemos, the overlap is. It's an overlap, but it's a panim chadasha sabol lekan, because it's really about Klal Yisrael's tzibur. So one could have made the suggestion that Klal Yisrael begins hayom hazeh niyesel am at matan Torah, or Klal Yisrael begins in the beginning of Shemos, or Klal Yisrael begins at least at the time when Yaakov becomes Yisrael, or when the shiftei ka, emerge at least as children, as opposed to let's say Abram who had a Yishmael and Yitzchak who had a who had an Esav alongside of Yaakov. So maybe it's Yaakov, Yisrael, maybe it's when the name of Yisrael is given to Yaakov. The point is that the earliest that Jewish history begins is the beginning of Lech Lecha, or when Avram becomes Av Hamon Goyim, and his name is changed from Avram to Abraham, but maybe even it starts a little later than that. So in that sense, all there is in Bereishis is Gid Anasha and Bris Mila, So in what sense is it, you know, at least in the beginning, Bishvil HaTorah and Bishvil Yisrael, you know, Shenikru, Rishis? At least this is a question. And yet, we give tremendous weight to Sefer Bereishis and to that beginning. The Gra has a famous comment in Deres Eliyahu in the beginning of Devarim, where, as you know, there are people who think that Sefer Devarim, Mishnah Torah, has a different status. The Gemara in the very beginning of Yevamos, right, certainly is understood by some of the Rishonim. Everybody here remembers Yevamos fondly, right in the beginning. So, highlights that special status. The Gra was particularly known to have viewed the status of Devarim as being a little bit different. Anyways, so in the beginning of Devarim, the Gra is very focused on different divisions or different levels of Torah Shebichtav. So the Gra, in the beginning of Devarim, suggests that there are really three Svarim of the Torah. Okay. This is not Chas V'Shalom, it sounds like, a little bit scary, but it doesn't mean it that way. There's Shemos, there's Vayikra, and there's Bamidbar. I mean, obviously, there are Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and they're, Kulam, Mipia Gvura. So I'm going to dispel any kind of misunderstanding. But basically, in terms of the division, he says there's Shemos, there's Vayikra, there's Bamidbar. Kenegdam, there's the Mechilta, right, the Sifra, and the Sifrei. All the Sifrei applies to Devarim as well. He says Devarim, if you really analyze it properly, is really divided up in three. And he tells you the division. You can look there at the Deres Eliyahu. It's a little hard to make out all of it. But he divides Devarim into three parts corresponding to these three parts, Shemos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. So where does that leave Bereishis? So Gra says, Bereishis is Shoresh Shel Kol HaTorah. It's not one of the, it shouldn't be viewed as one of the three Svarim. And then there's Dvarim, which is Mishnah Torah, which is corresponds three parts to the three Svarim, right? But Bereishis is not less, on the contrary, it's Shoresh Shel Kol HaTorah. So in what sense Shoresh Shel Kol HaTorah? Only two halachos given to Yechidim. You might even claim that all the history of Klal Yisrael starts only in the middle of Shemos or the beginning of Shemos, or as I say, at the end of Bereishis, or maybe one-third of the way into Bereishis, but certainly not in the beginning of Bereishis. In what sense is it Shoresh Shel Kol HaTorah? So another small piece of the puzzle. The Torah and Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Dalet, right, discusses the preamble to Matan Torah, and that's Klal Yisrael's commitment of Nasa V'Nishma. So the Torah tells us that in Perek Chav Dalet, according to Pasuk Gimel, Vayavo Moshe Vayisaper La'am Es Kol Divrei Hashem. So there's a huge machlokas among the mefarshim in interpreting these psukim. Now these are very critical psukim. These are the psukim, right? That, as I said, are the preamble to Matan Torah. This is where Klal Yisrael makes their commitment. So it's fascinating. Rashi suggests that what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael? I guess to inspire them. Right, or to represent what it is that Torah is all about, what it is they need to commit to. Again, we would expect that whatever that is, what's captured in what the Torah calls Sefer HaBris. What is the Sefer HaBris that he read Ba'aznei Ha'am? So, or Vayisaper La'am, that's called Divrei Hashem, the Eis Kala Mishpatim. So Rashi Shita, and he repeats it three times, which is surely significant as well, within like four psukim that he keeps repeating the same thing, is the Eis Kala Mishpatim, Sheva Mitzvah Shenitztavu B'nei Noach, the Shabbos V'Kibud Av, the Eim U'Para Aduma V'Dinan Shenitnu Ben B'mara. That's Rashi. Then Vayichtav Moshe, Mi Breishis V'Ad Matan Torah, the Kosav Mitzvah Shenitztavu B'mara, and then on the word Sefer HaBris, Pasuk Zayim, the first one's Pasuk Aleph, the second one's Pasuk Dalet, the third one's Pasuk Zayim, it's all within, you know, one small area. Sefer HaBris, once again, Mi Breishis V'Ad Matan Torah, U'Mitzvah Shenitztavu B'mara. The Ramban disagrees, Ibn Ezra disagrees. Ibn Ezra and the Ramban both say it cannot be. It cannot be that the, you know, what Moshe Rabbeinu represented or tried to use to inspire Klal Yisrael to commit to Matan Torah and to a totally different kind of a destiny, it cannot be that that was the Torah from the beginning of Bereishis just until, but not including, Matan Torah. And that basically focused on Shevet Bnei Noach and the few dinim that were given B'mar. Cannot be. Ramban says as well, Parshazu kodem atzer sabdibros, ba'arba b'sivan nemer l'shon Rashi, v'yom Hashem ha'moshe alei al ahar, ahar v'hei yisham, v'lachar matan Torah nemer lochein, gam elu devarav, v'ein ha'parshaz boz kesidron, according to Rashi, v'lo kem ha'shmon klal, v'od, Siva Yavo Moshe Vaisapra Lamas Kodri Hashem Veskala Mishpatim Shema Mishpatim Ha'ela Haksubim Mamala Shomer Bohem Be'ela Mishpatim Hashatasim Lafnehem Keinenu Nachon Shia Ala Mishpatim Shinitstavu B'nei Noach Vishinemru Lem B'mara Shekvar Shomu V'yado Alsam V'leyomo Vaisaper Ela B'chadoshos Asher Yagid. That in itself is fascinating. Ramban says that the phrase Vaisaper has to be that there's something, you know, Vaisaper is not used for something that people already know, an old story. Right, Vayisaper means there's something new here. I think what Ramban really meant was Vayisaper, you know, not just the phrase, but also the in context. I mean, what did he tell them that made a difference that caused them to say Nasa or Nasa v'Nishma? Right? What they didn't know the stories of Bereishis or the story of the history of Klal Yisrael to Matan Torah. They didn't know about Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach or the three or four or five, depending on the different counts, those few mitzvos that they were given at Mara. The mitzvahs that were given at Mara, there's a further debate, but both Rashi and Ramban, interestingly enough, Lashita Sam, happened to think that they were more in the category of Talmud Torah than they were actually Shmiras HaMitzvos. Not that the mitzvahs are binding, but this is they were taught these categories. They were taught Paraduma, they were taught Kibud Av V'Aim, they were taught Shabbos, etc. So the Ramban says, this cannot be, this doesn't make sense. It's got to be that, you know, while the Torah was, you know, not formally, you know, written yet, what Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael was, Eila Mishpatim, Asher Tassim Lefneim, that's the Parsha. So he basically told them the Taryag Mitzvos, the, what was going to be the content of Torah, and they said, oh, you know, very impressive, Nasa V'Nishma. But according to Rashi, you know, Rashi Shita is based really on the Mechilta. The Ramban himself notes this. Ramban says, "Ukvar heitiv l'ros Rav Avram Shapir Shoinin Kesidro," and he has this whole. And Sefer Bris refers to the real content of Matan Torah, and then he adds in the end, "V'ra'isi b'mechilta shenechleku b'davar yesh shomer shayikodem Matan Torah b'chamishi v'omer lehem harei atem kshurim tfusim anuvim etc." Rav Yosef Bridon, Rav Bobayon, Nasu kol ha'maisim, essentially. That it's a machlokas. If you actually look at the Mechilta in Parshas Yisro, in Parsha Gimel, so you have different shitas. Vayikach, and you see that Rashi put together some of the different views of the Mechilta. Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikar Be'ozne Ha'am, Avalo Shamanu Meheichan Karab Yazneim. What did he read to them in this Sefer HaBris? And again, it isn't just a matter of, it's, you know, first and foremost, it's a matter of curiosity. He read them, what was it? I'm just intrigued. But as I say, there's much more at stake than that, because this is what he read to them, you know, that resulted in their making this amazing commitment. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah Omer, mitchilas bereshis v'adkan. Rabbi Omer, mitzvah shenitztavu adam arishon, mitzvah shenitztavu b'nei noach, mitzvah shenitztavu b'mitzrayim u'b'mara, v'shar kol mitzvos kulam. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, mitchilas ha'inyan mahu Omer, and he has it as the brachos and klolos. Okay, I'll get this later. So at least the first view of the Mechilta is that he simply read them, the Parsha, from Bereshis, right, until Matan Torah. So it's just very striking, and it almost parallels our question from before. Again, Bereshis is the starting point. No one's suggesting that the Parsha of Bereshis and Noach, or that the Sefer Bereshis is all that was read. It's till Matan Torah. But the point is, since you can make you could make the argument that Klal Yisrael only became a tzibur, and certainly the tochen of halachic commitment, only begins with Maimon Har Sinai, Matan Torah, Hayom Hazeh, Ni'eis Olam. So how is it sufficient? How is it a sefer a bris, right? If you read from Bereishis until then, and why this emphasis on Sheva Mitzvos and Mara? Mara is like a sampling. Again, it's not even a Kabbalah's mitzvah, according to Rashi and Ramban, it is Talmud Torah. Oh. So I think that the answer is fairly obvious, but I think that the implications of the answer require a lot more work. Let me just highlight again the question in one other way. I once saw that some of the Akronim asked the question, if it's true, according to Rashi, that, the only reason that we start the Torah with Bereishis and not with Hakadosh Hashem Lachem is because Koach Masav Higid Liamo, that they would have a proper response to the claim of non-Jews about Eretz Yisrael. So it's particularly strange, that the Sefer HaBris, would include, all of this. Because the Sefer HaBris is an internal rather than an external aspect. Not to convince non-Jews that Klal Yisrael has a right. It's not to go to the UN and try to convince them that we have rights to Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's all about its internal consumption. It's trying to convince Klal Yisrael that they should make this exceptional commitment. So what does that have to do with Koach Masa Higid Liam? According to what I suggested a couple of minutes ago, or before what I'm suggesting, according to the Ramban, that there's an aspect of Elokei Haaretz that's part of who the Rabbonu Sholem is, and I'm kind of taking this a step further. If indeed what's significant about Eretz Yisrael is not just per se the din of Eretz Yisrael, but it's the idea that there's a tzibur aspect to everything that the individual does in Klal Yisrael, and there's an implication. Which is reflected in Dinei Kedushas Haaretz, things like B.S. Kolchem and others, that how Klal Yisrael responds, whether they go to Eretz Yisrael, how they live in Eretz Yisrael, affects the spiritual status of Eretz Yisrael, and then in a sense this is a proper substitute for Hakodesh Hazeh Lachem in terms of its implications. So then obviously that question gets a result, because it isn't, in the narrowest sense, just a response to the United Nations. It's really, a yesod in Bishvila Torah, Shenikra Reishis. But still, it's a very curious, a very interesting thing. Just one other point before we get to the punchline. As you know, in some halachic sources, Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar. So, the Netziv famously speaks about this in his Hakdama to Hamikdavar. And if you look at it carefully, the Netziv develops the idea that because in addition to being a tzaddik and a chassid and an osek of Torah over mitzvos, right, there's an idea of being a yashar. And the Netziv goes on to say that, you can be tzaddikim and chassidim and oske b'toro b'mitzvos, and you could still not be a yashar. And that's why the mikdash was charev, because everybody looked at everybody askance, and thought that everybody, while they were doing the right thing, everybody else was a kofar and a min. And that harshness of judgment, that improper midah of derech eretz, of relating to other people, of being suspicious of them, of not being melamed zchus, of not trying to be makarev of them, etc., that's a lack of yashrus. And that's what we're supposed to learn from Sefer Bereishis. Siv goes on to say that Sefer Bereishis highlights the way that the avos, in particular, related to the non-Jewish or the universal world, and it showed that in addition to and separate from, keeping the halacha and the dvarim shebikdusha that are part of the Torah per se, which is about being a tzaddik and a chassid and an osek b'Torah, there's something called yashrus. Hakadosh Baruch Hu yashar ve'eno sovel tzaddikim ke'elu. Right, and then when the tziv wants to characterize what yashrus is, as I just explained, so he says yesh la vin atam lama kara bilam es avoseinu yasharim velo tzadikim or chasidim lama mechuna zeh sefer biyichud bikinu yasharim v'ha'inyan, because of what I just said, and that is shevach yashar shibeach yashar lahatzdik din hakadosh baruch hu b'chorban bayisheni sheyador ikei shepsalto u'pirashu sheyot tzadikim v'chasidim v'amelei torah. So why is Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYashar? So he explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, Elab Ofen Shehochen Derech Yashar Gam Bahalichos Olam V'lo Ba'akmimus Afal Gav Shehu L'Shem Shemayim V'zeh Gorem Churban HaBriya V'Harisus Yishuv HaAretz. The Bereishis speaks about the Bria and Yishuv Haaretz, and a t'nai for navigating the broader world is the sense of yashrus. V'zei yashevach ha'avos shemavad shayu tzadikim v'chassidim, right, v'oavei Hashem, right, v'ofen hayoser efshar, od hayu yasharim, haynu, shesnagu im umos ha'olam, afilo ovdei alilim mechuarim, mikamokom be'ava v'chashu l'tavasam, kasher ikiyum ha'bria. So if you look at the tziv, his explanation of Sefer Yashar is that there is this additional factor of yashrus, which mostly focuses on the way that you relate to universal rather than to Jewish concerns. And that is consistently the way, in this piece at least, that he follows up with it. For example, Anu Roim, Kama, Avram Avinu, right? Hishtateach Avram Avinu Lisfal Al Sedom. I'm skipping. V'chein ra'inu kama noach ahoya yitzchak avinu liyispayis mimesanov u'mad divrei pius me'avimelech v'yakov avinu achar sheheitiv chora lo alovon sheyoda shebikash la'akro lulei Hashem. Right? V'chein harbe lamadnu mahalichos ha'avos b'derech eretz ma'shashayich lekilum kiyum ha'olam ha'miyuchad lazeh ha'sefer shehu sefer ha'briya mishum hochi nikra Sefer HaYasha. However, I think that one could take what the Nesiv says is very important, obviously, this element of Yashrus and Derech Eretz and Yishuv HaOlam, and that itself could explain why the Gra thinks that Bereishis is Shoresh HaTorah, why Sefer HaBris, right, includes Bereishis, and why, indeed, we begin the Torah. And we spend a lot of time and detail, not only on, the end of the Torah, from Yisrael Yaakov, or Yaakov Yisrael on, from the end of Bereishis, not only from even when Avram Avinu becomes Avamon Goyim, not only even from Parshas Lech Lecha, but even those first Parshios, Bereishis and Noach, because they highlight this this element. However, I think that one could take this a significant step further. While the Netziv here interprets Yashar in this way, I think that it's very tempting to interpret Sefer HaYashar on the basis of the Ramban, a basis of other psukim, and certainly the Ramban's understanding of them. Of course, the most obvious being V'yasisa HaYashar V'hatov. According to Rashi already, earlier the Medrash, Basisa Yashar Batov is a reference to Lifnim Meshuras Hadin. Rashi notes Pshara and Bar Metzra. And of course, Ramban has this very famous discussion on that pasuk in Devarim, on Basisa Yashar Tov, The Ramban says that, you know, the Torah could not have exhausted every contingency because it's meant to be implemented in the real world. All sorts of challenges, you know, will arise. But sisa yoshavato. Therefore, the Torah tells you, you know, that there are guidelines that you should operate with. Now, again, that alone, one could have said that the Ramban is talking about, you know, kind of a flexibility or efficiency. You can't expect every detail to be elucidated in the Torah under all conditions. And therefore, there is a concept here of v'asisa hayashar v'ato. But clearly, the Ramban goes a significant step beyond that by virtue of the fact that we're talking about lifnim mishuras hadin, as Rashi has it. So it's not just a mechanism to apply dine Torah to other circumstances. It's also the sense of responsibility of finding the proper ways to apply the halacha to other circumstances, and investing that responsibility intentionally in Klal Yisrael, not for, only for the sake of flexibility and application, but for the sense of, again, viewing them as a junior partner in the process as well. When you tell somebody v'asisa yashar v'ato, and you're deliberately vague, but you're challenging them to implement values based on specific kedinim, what you're really saying to them is you are both responsible and have the capacity to be, again, junior partners together with the Ribono Shel Olam, much in the same way that I was talking about HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem and possibly the role of Eretz Yisrael. In that sense, V'asisa Asisa Yashar V'Hatov. The Ramban himself, as we know, links V'asisa Yashar V'Hatov to Kedoshim Tiyu and his discussion of that, where he discusses Al Tihi Naval Birshus HaTorah and develops very beautifully the concept that, you know, there's the letter of the law and there's the spirit of the law. The letter of the law, of course, cannot be, you know, denied or defied. But for someone to be insistent only upon the letter of the law and to abuse the, or to exploit, you know, loopholes or limitations, you know, rather than to be seeking also to implement the spirit of the law or the hashkafa of the halacha or the values of the halacha, is a violation of Kedoshim Tiyu, and the Ramban himself links Kedoshim Tiyu with V'asisa Yashar V'Hatov, and his perspective on the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos is another a connection that he makes. So what I'm suggesting is, in light of the Netzivs, to go a giant step further. While the Netziv explained that Hayashar, Sefer Hayashar, is about, you know, what some people used to call the fifth Shulchan Aruch, you know, the Menschlichkeit, whatever you want to call it, you know, applying again, you know, Derech Eretz and Yishuv HaOlam, you know, to Umos HaOlam or to other circumstances. I think that that is true, but it's not an outside additional factor. It's much more appealing to say that Bereshis is Sefer HaYashar because a proper understanding of Bereshis, which will also justify it as Shoresh Kol HaTorah, and explain why it serves as Sefer HaBris, is really because it highlights the idea that the halachos are just, you know, the beginning, but we're supposed to delve into them and understand them, you know, la'omkan, and they're supposed to apply them as values as well. In that sense, Sefer HaYashar, from the perspective of V'asisa HaYashar V'Hatov, Lifnim Mishuras Hadin, which is an inside rather than an outside principle in the Torah and the Halacha. And in this sense, from the very beginning, whether it's, you know, Rashi's explanation or the Ramban's Ha'ara, that there are critical emunos videos issues involved in Bereshis Bara Lakim, Esa Shamayim, Esa Arts. It isn't just history. History per se is nice, but history isn't necessarily important. But this particular history, Yesh Me'ayim, for example, and the early history of man, every diuk in the psukim about different phases and different what might have beens and different stages of development, instead of just being seen as history or even as history which provides guidelines in terms of, you know, interaction for the sake of Yishuv Olam, one should perhaps see them as ways of highlighting, again, what is unique about the halachic perspective on life. After all, that first word is Bereishis, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikareishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikareishis. So while the actual dinim of the Torah are delayed, and while the focus on Klal Yisrael is delayed, the background isn't just universal, because that's an additional important element. Every Jew is both a Jew and a member of the universe. What I'm suggesting is, even in his Jewish particularism, basically, this background, this history, the what might have beens, right, the false starts, the habaminas, you know, the fact that the world was almost created only the midas, you know, hadin, until shatav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, midas harachamim. But if it didn't go, why are we told of it? The fact that the world initially might have been created with man as a passive figure, lihonos miziv hashkina vayasem, he was just placed in Gan Eden, right? The decision was then made by the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know what? La'avda u'lashavra. Vayinicheu b'Gan Eden, la'avda u'lashavra. And then, when man can't, you know, achieve his promise, even without a Yetzer Hara, which is also a very critical concept, right? And he's chased from Gan Eden, it's still important to know that there's on a Gan Eden ideal, that there was a Gan Eden. It's important to know what ruined it. It's important to know that as an ideal, it's still out there. Right? The Ramban tells us that, you know, Yimos HaMashiach are, in some respects, a return to the idyllic state of Gan Eden. It's important to know how man, how woman was created from man, and what that process was. Not just because it's fascinating, but because it highlights something about the relationship between men and women, and it may reflect something about the existential bond between them. If they were born, if she was created out of what was initially du partzufin, as the Ramban says in his Perush al HaTorah, and the Ravid says in the beginning of Balei HaNefesh, there is a certain, you know, bond that's being restored in the context of marriage, which has enormous implications. If the world was destroyed by the Mabul and restarted in the time of Noach, right, the fact that the world, you know, existed prior and might have survived in a different basis, you know, in a vegetarian order, etc., continues to have impact on how we look at meat eating and shechita and karbanos and man's relationship with the animal, etc., etc. If the stories of Cain and Hebel and the first murder, and the story of Lamech, and Lamech's relationship with his wife, reflect something about the Dor HaMabul, then what it reflects is a very different value system than the one that ultimately Klal Yisrael is intended to adopt. Maybe we'll speak about some of these details a little bit more when I try to wrap this up next week. The point is that both these false starts or the ideals that are left behind, the process, all of these details in Bereishis, when understood, you know, from this perspective, are really part of Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, and they're part of the Dibrei HaBris, the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, as a contrast to Taryag, and the, you know, initial taste of that Bimara with the categories that were given, already highlight what is going to be a very different kind of destiny. So, Sefer HaYashar, Sefer HaBris, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Esa Shamayim, Esa Aretz, really ends up being Ikar Shoresh Kol HaTorah. I always like the, well, this I'll conclude for today, the, you know, the, there's this Medrash, you know, in Mishpatim that I always like very much, about the Ger, you know, who wanted to be Mizgayer. And they said to him, you know, what's the point? After all, Ela Mishpatim Magid Dvar Yaakov Pamachas Omer Akilas La Daryonis Hamelech Rotani Lizgai V'Liyosis Yitzra Omer Leuma Zua Tomavakesh Kama Bazisi Kama Horakti Liyuda Shibumas Atomavakesh Liyisarev Mara Isa Bahem Shatarotza Lizgai Omelei Hakotan Shabahem Yodea Hech Bara Kodesh Baruch Hu Olam Manivra biyom rishon, manivra biyom sheni, kama yesh mishanivra ha'olam, amaha olam omeid, v'tarasa nemes. So those words, to me, are always very fascinating. Meaning what? They know biology, they know cosmogony better, they know cosmology better. You know, they know the order of the Bria, aside from which anybody, Nisi Sefer Vinachazi, can get their hands on a Tanakh and read that. What does it really mean? But I think what it really, really means is the Taras HaNemes and Almah Olam Omeh, which of course is plucked out of Avos, meaning they understand that the order of the Bria matters. The fact that the Bria is Yesh Me'ayin, as opposed to Yesh Me'yesh, matters in terms of free choice, in terms of the role of materialism. The order of creation, Ma Nivra B'Yom Rishon, Ma Nivra B'Yom Sheni, Ma Nivra B'Yom Shlishi, reflects the relationship between, you know, different factors in the world, and the role of man, and the relationship of man and woman, and how Chet began, you know, even without Yetzer Hara, and how Onesh and Tshuva, you know, first come on the scene. And the things, you know, that might have been, you know, but still resonate, you know, as an echo, and things that might yet be, or that take different forms in this version. And it's just fascinating that the Medrash goes on to say, so he says, fine, good, you know, again, he missed the point, so he says to him, Amar lo lech ulamad tarasan, ba'al tamul, would have to undergo bris milah. Amar lo akilus, apilu chacham shub malchuska v'zakin b'mea shana, eni yachal ulmo tarasan im eina mal. Shechen ksid magid rov liyakob, who called me shibtab v'Yisrael, lo asachen l'chogoy, right, ulami libnei Yisrael. Non-Jews, of course, have a legal system, but the perspective of what it is and what it's supposed to accomplish is different. And I always thought it was very fascinating that Mila, you know, somehow, it just means Mila because that's what you need to, you know, to be initiated, or it's also Mila, right? The two things that we do have in Bereishis are, of course, Gidanasha and Mila. And Mila symbolically, you know, represents a certain both fulfillment and kind of an intentional, you know, self-sacrifice along the way. But the point is that a proper understanding of Bereishis from the perspective of Bishvila Torah Shenikra Reishis is one which in the end constitutes a Sefer HaBris, which is inspiring and can lead to the commitment, Nasa V'Nishma, paving the way for a commitment to the actual Be'ila HaMishpatim of Matan Torah itself. Okay, we'll stop here and speak a little more about this next week.
Actually.